Thanks for these words that you inspired by your Spirit through your servant so many days ago. These words, which are such a comfort and have indeed been such a comfort to many of your people through those ages past. But such a comfort precisely because they speak of the provision of the Almighty God. That these words would not just be a comfort to us, but an urging to us to turn unto you in worship and thanksgiving, in adoration and rejoicing. We ask, Lord, that as we do look upon the lives that we live, the lives that you've given to us to live, that where we do see trouble and difficulty, we will look for and long for such bounteous provision, but in order primarily that we would worship you and lift up your name in glory, so that even through the trials and the tests we would be caused all the more to rejoice and give thanks, as patience does its perfect work in us. We ask therefore, O Lord, that you would draw near to us this morning, as you have drawn us together to this place, in order to strengthen one another and to be strengthened as we come around your word. We give thanks, O Lord, that we might set your word at the center, to hear your voice. We plead therefore that you would also hear ours as we would seek to draw near. Enable us therefore in all that we do. Grant us wisdom. Grant us grace. that we will truly be in tune with you and not simply here out of form and not distracted, not disturbed from this chief purpose of this your day, enabling us for our chief purpose in life itself, to glorify God, and in so doing, to find our enjoyment in you and in you alone. To continue with us then and guide us in all that we do. That the name of Jesus, through whom you have revealed yourself, will be above every name. We ask for his sake that you might graciously accept us with forgiveness of sin, cleansing from all unrighteousness, that we might draw into your presence under him. Amen. Let us join together in the confession of the faith of the Christian Church, indeed the confession of the Church through many ages. As I read, may you join with me in heart and spirit, reading the Apostles' Creed and confession, confessing our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May we further respond to this confession also of our faith by singing again in Psalm 11. Psalm 11 on page 13. Psalm 11 in the first four verses, verses 1 to 4. This Lord of whom we have confessed is spoken of here. I find my refuge in the Lord. How is it then you say to me, make your escape and like a bird for refuge to your mountain flee? For look, the wicked bend their bows and on the string they set their dart. From shadows dark they aim and shoot at those who are upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed and all around there is decay, whatever can the righteous do surrounded by such disarray? Does that strike a chord in your hearts this morning, that question? The Lord is in his holy place. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. His eyes observe the human race, and in his sight each one is known. Psalm 11, verses 1 to 4, and again let us stand to sing.
I find my refuge in the Lord.
Oh,
But what's your name there?
Bianca.
What's this?
A map.
It's a map. Or it's a book of maps. Do you know what a book of maps is called? A road atlas. See, you can read it there. It's a book of maps. Mm-hmm. Well, yesterday I was using this. I was traveling a long way using it. In this book of maps, there are different kinds of maps. There's a map. Can you see where to go on that? You see where you are, might be, where you might want to be. But can you see any roads on that? No roads on that. How do you get from one, we call it place A, to place B? Doesn't tell you. Here's one. Whoops. A little bit bigger. I think there's some roads on that one, isn't there? Yeah? Some roads there, you might be able to follow some of those roads to get from one place to the next. Well, I was using this yesterday while we were driving a long way. And along the way, we chose which road we were going to follow. You know, going along the roads, there's numbers, that's quite useful. So we followed certain roads. But we got to one point, and things weren't quite so fine. I'll not go into all the details, but it wasn't so good. It's on this map. We were traveling down one of these roads. See, it's much bigger. You can't see the whole island, can you? You can only see a part of it. But you can see a lot more roads. So things weren't going quite so well. So we did what most people might do. We had a look to see if there was another way. And you know what we did to do that? Did we say, we'll go that way? No, we didn't do that. We had to work out right up close. We're there. Now, there's another road that goes, a small road. We can take that one. We can go around and we can come down somewhere else. You notice what I did? Went up really close. Yeah, see the really little details and things. You know something? What's this? Yes, Mariette. No. Right. Yes, sorry. You got it right. What is that for you? I didn't see your hand first. The Bible. Very good. You know, some people call the Bible, not always the best thing to call it, but some people say it's like a book of maps. It's a map. And it shows you the way that God wants you to go in your life. So, you know, that's the one thing that I wanted to say about it this morning, is that you find some things and you read them, and you say, well, that's a good lesson for me how I should live. But then you go in life and something strange happens, something different that you're not expecting. Now, what you need to do is exactly what I did with that map book, is to go up close and to look very close in the Bible and say, what does it say about just doing something maybe a little bit different from what I've been doing? And we need to go close, because sometimes we don't go close enough, we don't get it right. We're not on the right road. We need to go close in the Bible. That's why we come to church. That's why you do Sunday school. Who can tell me what story you might be doing in Sunday school, what you did last week or the week before? What's the latest story you can remember? Yes. Solomon. Can I ask you, have you heard that story before? You're not sure. Okay. Do you think you might hear it again sometime as you get older? I think so. You probably will. There are little children here. You heard about Solomon? Yeah? Well, when you get to the big Sunday school class, you might hear about Solomon all over again. It's going to sound a bit different. Because when you get older, you can look a little bit more closely. And you can understand it. We all need to be ready to go back to the Bible lots of times to check where we're going, like a roadmap. That's one thing that really, I remembered very clearly yesterday when we looked at that little bit of the map to just make sure that we were going the right way. But you know, just to finish, I think the very worst thing is if I have a map and I've got it in the car and I'm driving down that road and it's just like that. I'm driving, someone beside me, and we're just sitting there, we're going down the road. There's the map, we get stuck. What do we do? Do we sit there? Do we wonder? Scratch our heads? What do? You get the map book, you open it up, you find where you are, you find how to get out of it. You find the way. That's a very, very important lesson. That when you've got the Bible, it is like a map book in that way. But you have to open it and learn the way from the Bible. Okay? That's as far as we can go this morning, but there's a lot more we need to come back to, just like that roadmap. Okay. Now, I've not given the notices earlier this morning, perhaps just as well, but now that we're all together and settled, I'm not going to give a lot. They're all there in the print. Except just to make a point that we haven't finalized the venue for the Bible study on Friday evening. We'll sort that out later on this morning, and we'll get round everyone and just make sure that you do know that. So apart from that, everything is there, and I think generally speaking we're back to normal this week. So please make sure that you read those notices. And perhaps talk while we've been talking about the children. In case any of the children are wondering about the discovery sheet that you did, I haven't had time since you gave them to me last week to look at them, but I hope to do it for next week. Okay? Let's turn to the Bible and read together just a short part in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll read verses 10 through to 20. Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. This is God's word. Just so far, our reading this morning. May God bless it to us, each one. That his name might be praised. As we have read God's word and shortly come to study in it a little, may we also commit it to the Lord in prayer, amongst other things that are before us. Let us pray together. Lord, as we read such words, it does alert us that there are powers that would seek to assault your own people, and that they have sought to do so since the very beginning, that there is the evil one, Satan himself, the devil, who seeks to bring down and to damage and to tarnish the people of God, the kingdom of God. And there are times when we're able to recognize it, this power at work surrounding us and having an impact on our own lives at times. But Lord, there is also the distinct possibility, because we still stumble and get entangled with sin, that we have failed to recognize its full reality. And yet, Lord, even as we read, and as we are inclined to be awakened to the magnitude of the struggle in which we are engaged as your people, we are made aware here as well, and we give thanks, O Lord, for it, that you have made every provision needful to enable us and to help us to continue in that struggle. And to do so for your name's sake, in the strength of your Spirit. We pray that we'll be strengthened by your Spirit and by your word this morning, each one, as we go on through the days of our lives that you know of, but we're unaware of ourselves. That we will be strengthened, that we will have the enabling to persevere and to do so for your honor, for your name's sake. May your word be a blessing upon us, each one, as we're gathered here today. We are reminded, even as we say this, that there are some folk who would normally be here, who belong with us, and are unable to be here this morning. We commend them also into your care in this very same respect. We pray, Lord, that you would preserve them, that you would strengthen them too for the assaults that are against them, wherever they are or wherever they will be. We especially commend those to you who may be unwell. We pray that you would refresh them and heal them, pray that you would speak with them even now where they are. I pray too for some who may have other struggles that they're dealing with at the moment and therefore feel unable to join with us, and we especially commend them to you for your provision and your working in their heart and spirit to lift them up and to enable them as well, and especially for the privilege of joining with your people week by week. May we indeed see this as a privilege and an honor that is not just for men or for human exercise, but that we would seek to meet with you in this place together. We pray, Lord, for the extension of your kingdom, for the spread of the gospel, for the proclamation of your word today in many other parts as well. Remembering again our friends in London, in the center, we commend them to you. We would remember too the hopes in the next couple of weeks to be able to, for some of us, to be able to meet with them in house party. We commend to you those who are involved in the organization of it, especially that they would not be troubled in spirit, but able to rest upon you and to know that this too is in your providing care. We pray for the fellowship of our brothers and sisters over there as well this morning. And likewise also through our denomination, throughout Scotland in particular, the arms that are also working in other parts of the world, India, South Africa, Peru in particular, in the churches, but remembering many others of our own people who are working in different places, we would commend Johan to you this morning as well as he plans and anticipates going out to Africa later on in the summer, that these plans would bear good fruit. We ask, Lord, that your word would go forth in power today, that we would be aware of your voice upon us. At times we need a voice of thunder. At times we need that quiet stillness. And help us, each one in our hearts this morning, to be still and to know that you are God, and that God does dwell in his holy place, enthroned on the heavens and over the earth. To hear and keep us then, and to enable us in what lies before us, and that we would be strengthened by fellowship together, brought together by your Spirit, in the name of Christ Jesus, through whom we ask all things that you might accept us, and for his sake. Amen. Let us sing again in Psalm 85. Psalm 85 on page 113, page 113. Psalm 85, and we'll sing the last two stanzas. That's the verses marked 8 to 13. Psalm 85 at verse 8 on page 113. I will hear what God the Lord says. To his saints he offers peace, but his people must not wander and return to foolishness. And so on through to the end of the psalm, Psalm 85, verse 8, page 113, let us stand to sing.
I will hear what God the Lord says. To his saints he offers peace, but his people must not wander and return to foolishness. Show me, O Lord, the fear.
Passage that we read in Ephesians chapter 6. The basic issue that Paul is concerned about here is to be found in verse 10. Thus we should read verse 10 and 11, 11 being the opening into the bulk of the passage. Ephesians chapter 6 at verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Peter said to his readers, "Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." It would do no harm, perhaps, to put such picturesque language upon what you might know from daily experience. I think many of us, if we stop and think just a little, we would be able to recall times when it seemed very much like this. When there are tests on your faith, when there are pressures on you and your Christian choices in life. And I'd almost be inclined to say that if you don't know that experience, you probably should. One day God said to Satan, "Have you noticed my faithful servant Job?" And Satan said, although not in so many words, but Satan said, "Of course I noticed him." Job was noticeable because of his stand with God. If you do stand for God and Christ Jesus, the adversary will see you. Just like Job, he will set about trying to bring you down. That might be worrying so far. But see what Peter says. He says, be vigilant. Be ready. Brace yourself. The other evening in the prayer time, we talked about Nehemiah. There as he was building the city walls, the people were ready with a tool in one hand to build the wall and a sword in the other. They were ready for the onslaught. Peter and Paul, John as well, when he writes, they're all very conscious of these dangers, that there is a power, a principality, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. They're striving to assault God's people. Be ready. Dads, perhaps particularly. You might know times when you're standing doing something and all of a sudden there's a little almost cannonball bumps into you, and it might be small, but that little person can knock you right off balance if you're not ready. Many of you are South Africans. You love rugby. Many of you. Let's not tar everyone with the same brush. But a rugby player will get knocked back in no time at all if he's not braced and ready for the onslaught. But Paul goes into this in some detail. And that's where I want to look with you this morning. And I put it under the heading of God's armor. It's coming to the armor, God's provision, God's armor for the spiritual struggle. But before we get to the armor, we need to learn something of the enemy and his approach, then to see the armor and its purpose. But I also want to draw your attention to our model, the one to follow, and our strength. The enemy and his approach, the armor and its purpose, our model and strength. The enemy and his approach. There can be no real doubt about it, can there? Reading this passage. Verse 11, he's called the devil. In verse 16, the wicked one. In verse 12, it is elaborated a little further. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. This is the enemy. Principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. In the plural, but coming under the leadership, surely, of the devil, Satan himself. That prince of darkness, the prince of this world, of this age. My first question is whether you recognize this. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against these principalities and powers. Hosts, spiritual hosts. Do you recognize this? Do you recognize, too, that the devil is wily? We don't use the word wiles very often these days, do we? But we do use the word wily. Someone who's shrewd. That's what he was called. The serpent was called in Genesis chapter 3 when he first appeared in the biblical record. An example of his wiles, his wiliness. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 11, he says that he appears even as an angel of light, or the angel of light. Looks good. First of all, do you recognize this is the character of the battle, of the struggle? And also, do you recognize what his intention is? I quoted from Peter earlier. His intention is to devour you, God's people, to bring you down. What was he trying to do to Job? He was trying to get him to deny God. We're not told as much as far as I can remember in Scripture, but I calculate from what Scripture does say that the devil knows that the Christian believer is safe in his Father's hand. Jesus said, no one can pluck you out of my Father's hand. I understand that the devil would know that. But that doesn't stop him. I think the devil calculates that sometimes the believer doesn't know that, or doesn't hold on to it enough. And so he's out there to bring down the loose one. The one who's loosened his grip, perhaps on God's people, perhaps on God himself. Not long ago, I saw a series of programs that was from Kenya, Big Cats, for 1 week. They were tracing the characters. They came alive, individual cheetahs in particular, I remember. And the wildebeest were on the migration up there in Kenya and Tanzania. Hundreds of thousands of them. But just occasionally, there was a younger one or an older one, a weak one, that would start to
lag behind or fall out to the edge of the herd. And it was then that the cheetah, the lion, the big cat would strike and devour. Perfect picture of what the devil aims to do. I know that skillful shepherds can separate one sheep from a flock. He's skillful. He appears as an angel of light. He can separate and devour. Are we aware of these things? The devil is out to do whatever he can to mar the joy of God and his people. He's not just out to get you, through you, he's trying to get God. And the damage that that would do. Remember, none can pluck them out of my hand. That was God's word, God's promise. If the devil could, by any stretch of the imagination, reach and take one of God's people and get them out of the Father's hand, everything else would collapse. There's even a logic to that, that he's pursuing. If he did that, he would have won the victory. He's not relaxed. Yes, he knows what God's word says, but he's choosing to go on fighting. God says he's won the victory in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's won the victory over sin and over death and over Satan. Satan's going to keep trying. And he's trying through you, God's people, God's person. He also hates seeing you in the service of God. He wants to be God. He wants to be first. He wants that for himself. And even if he doesn't get to devour you, he's going to distract you and turn you aside and fill you up with all sorts of other things so that your service does not fill to the glory of God. These are some of the things we need to be alert to as we read such a passage as this. Do you think on these things? Because that's what your struggles are about. He is wily, remember. He doesn't want you to think about these things. He will try to blur all that. He will make sure that you start to think of these problems in another way. The key approach that he takes is to detach God's people from spiritual thinking. Did you know that the devil knows that all of life is a spiritual issue? He's a spiritual being. He knows that your life is about spiritual things. Every part of it. Do you know that? Have you got to grips with that? You need to. I need to. To be able to stand against him. An awareness of him and his forces is important. Vitally important for us. And there's one more thing about the devil. There's so much more that should be said. Time is short. One more I need to suggest that this passage indicates. That the devil will get you to struggle with him alone. By yourself, in other words. He wants you to struggle with him without God's people and without God. And I say that because of what we go on to discover. But remember, that's what he's going to try and do. He's going to try and pull you out, as it were, from that herd and get you on your own in his endeavors to bring you down and devour you. But that's not the way God means it to be. You are not to fight this battle without God. That's where we come to the armor and its purposes. I feel when I say something like I've just been saying, this is a very dark thing to say. It's not a thing that is enjoyable. Is it? But it's not the end of the story. That's the beauty of it. And so it's worth spending time thinking on these things, even the dark side, to appreciate the strong, the light, the true light.
Let's come to this, the armor and its purposes. He wants to fight you alone, by yourself. God says that doesn't need to happen. Look at this. It's the armor of God. I'm giving it to you, God says. It's God's provision for you. Because he knows that life is to be a struggle for you. And he equips you. Equips you perfectly. Do remember that the armor that he gives you because of the threat, because God knows that threat. He knows it perfectly. Just what it is and its character. So it's God's armor, first of all. But it is also, we need to remember, to approach it as the whole armor. And as the whole armor, it will make it possible for you to stand. I would suggest, by the shape of what Paul is saying here, that if you were missing one part of it, you would be in big trouble. It's the whole armor that we need. And perhaps that's one of the difficulties for many of us today, is to get the whole picture. That we can concentrate on one aspect of our Christian life or another, but it's a bigger thing than that. It's a thing that we need to realize it covers our whole being, just as the armor here does. And Paul says it twice. He says, put on the whole armor of God, not just the armor, but the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. Says it in verse 11. In verse 13, he comes back and he says, because of that wrestling, the character of that battle that you're in, therefore he reminds us again, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. That's what the armor is for. So that you can stand and not fall. Before looking at the armor, the third thing I've mentioned, it's God's armor. It also has to be the whole armor. The third thing I just want to emphasize is that in verse 10, Paul says, be strong in the Lord. I'm re-emphasizing the point that we must not try and do this on our own. That's where the devil wants us. But there can't be that way. It doesn't work. We must do it in the Lord. And I think that one of the things we need to realize here as well is that this is all about making sure that our lives are not lived in detachment from God. Being in the Lord is not about something that is quite divided from the rest of life, that we are in a little cocoon or a capsule that we go on through life without the other things touching us. It's for this battle, for the struggle. But it's something that's comprehensive. I actually can't find the words for it, but it's something that penetrates through all of life, is to be in the Lord, to be strong in Him. Perhaps the best thing I can do is to remind you of what Paul says to the Colossians, that our lives are to be hidden in Christ. There's to be that sort of integration of ourselves and the Lord to work in all things. And so what has God provided? He's provided whole armor, enough, sufficient, complete. And he starts here with truth. Now, I think there's possibly the danger of overemphasizing the picture language. But it's not there without reason. Paul intends us to understand the connections. And so there is value in looking at the pictures. And he talks about the armor of the soldier. And he says, begins with the belt, girding your waist with truth. Another passage of scripture opens that up more plainly to us. It talks about running a race, but girding yourself up, because in those days the soldiers and the athletes and anybody in society by and large wore something that was quite a longish garment, and you needed to lift it up, hoist it up, but strap a belt around it so it wouldn't entangle you. Perfect picture. of what truth can do, what truth does. I'm only glimpsing at this, but do you think of what truth is all about? Jesus said, the truth shall set you free. Grasp on to the truth, that it will ready you for the struggle. That's the first step, is to get ready by putting this belt around you. Equip yourself with the truth. Let the truth permeate your life, that you live according to it with integrity. These are the things. Be ready for the struggle. Grasp the truth as God reveals it. In verse 14, he also talks about the breastplate. This is a massive, great, and in those days it would have been a very heavy piece of equipment. But it would cover, you know, the most dangerous, the places where if the enemy could strike, you'd be dead in a moment. Is there anything in your life that is not covered by this breastplate? Those vital things in your life. What is this breastplate? It's righteousness. Are you covered with righteousness? Is that the character of your life? Yes, by the gift of Christ first, but also living it out, working it out. Otherwise, you're vulnerable. Is there something in your life that is cannot be described as anything but unrighteousness? That's where you're vulnerable. Very often, friends, we think that it's in our weakest areas that we're vulnerable to the devil. Very often it's in our strongest that we're weakest. Because that's what we make us, where we make ourselves strong. We're not relying on the strength of the Lord and the power of His might. It's only by righteousness that we can be safe. And be very sure that the devil will find that vulnerable place that is uncovered. Verse 15 talks about the preparation of your feet. What are your feet for? The army was heavily dependent, always has been, upon foot soldiers. Need to be well equipped to march. I read an illustration of this where somebody was noticed American soldiers in Korea during the Korean War, and they were disabled by frostbite on their feet. They're just not equipped, not prepared. And so what's this preparation? It's the gospel of peace. In order to give you the mobility you need and the endurance that you need in the struggle, you need the gospel of peace. You need it in your own life. You need to be secure in peace with God. And that's the preparation for the battle. And in verse 16, he goes on to the next. And he says, this one is above all, the shield of faith. This is not a nice little toy shield that you get in the toy shops these days. This is a big thing that covers virtually the whole height of the soldier. Something he can get full protection behind. And just see how important that is to protect yourself and to quench the fiery darts of the evil one. Not just arrows, not just swords, the fiery things. If it hits, it will inflame. If there's anything volatile in your life, unsteady, something that could be inflamed, that's where he'll strike and it will burst into flame. Think of these pictures. Think too of the fear of the soldier with a fiery weapon thrown at him. The pain that he anticipates that he would seek to get away from. He says this shield will quench, it will dampen. It's not like a water hose on an oil fire. It's a proper extinguisher. What is it? It's faith. Faith in God. Elsewhere we're told that this devil, one of his tactics is to go about accusing the brethren. Yes. When I say there's maybe something in your life that's not covered by righteousness, you say, yes, I know that. There's something there. And the devil can jump on that and he can accuse you to the heart. And that too will bring you down. So what do we have covering that? We have faith in God. Trust in the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ that you might walk with God through Him. Don't let him undermine that relationship in any way whatsoever. This is the protection you need. Faith in God. There's also salvation, which is the helmet. What do you need the helmet for? It's for your head. Paul says in Romans 12, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Your mind is vital to this whole exercise. Is it secure in the knowledge of your salvation? Keep your head in the battle. Hold on to that salvation in Christ Jesus. There is also the Word of God, and here it's the sword of the Spirit. It always has been called this. The sword, you know, is something that is also offensive. Well, that's not a very comfortable word these days, perhaps. So we call it proactive. It's something that is an attacking weapon, not just defensive. The Bible says that it's a sharp thing. It pierces. It pierces into the deepest part of your soul. But it's also a repelling thing. Remember the Lord Jesus himself when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. How did he do it? He did it by the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And that repelled the devil. The devil was resisted and the devil fled. James tells us that is what will happen. Take the Word, know the Word, grasp the Word, live in the Word, and resist him. And he will flee. That dark picture that we painted earlier, that he's like this roaring lion, that roaring lion will flee away. Those big cats, if there was a weak calf, and the mother spotted the cheetah trying to bring it down, the mother would come, and the mother had horns. The mother was a threat. The cheetah, the big cat, would fly away. The devil will fly away as we resist him with the sword of the Spirit. And this is all brought together without a picture in verse 18. He's not talking about a picture of armor here. But he says, with all that, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Let us use a picture for a moment. Prayer is like being in touch with God. Praying always is with to have God as your constant companion. That you're in communion with him, in fellowship with him all the time. But in the picture of a battle, your eye as a soldier is on the leader and his direction, his commands, his wishes. Praying always. Not only for yourself, but for all the saints, one another. And with all this, I feel it's important that we also be encouraged further by recognizing our model and our strength. I couldn't help but read these things and have my mind taken to the Lord Jesus. At the end in Luke chapter 22, remember Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed with an absolute intensity. And then the people came, the army virtually came and arrested him. Having questioned them and so on, his conclusion was this. This is your hour and the power of darkness. Jesus has gone through this. The same struggle. He doesn't ride high and mighty and expect you to do the dirty work. He's down here with us. He's gone through the worst of it. The power of darkness. How did he cope with it? He went to God in prayer. He reaffirmed an active trust in God, his faith. Shield of faith. He prepared himself by grasping again the truth of his position. He was secure in righteousness. His very work that he was going into was the essence of the gospel. And what did Jesus do? He stood. Under the most severe assault, I believe, in all of human history. these powers, these principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, every single one of them, I believe, was arrayed against him, and he stood. Thus he also becomes our strength through faith in him. He's the model. He's the one to follow. He's the one, the example for us. But he's the one who also establishes his power and his might. John says, acknowledging this same battle in his first epistle, chapter 4, verse 4, he says, "He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." This is the one. It all depends on a big if. And here I conclude. There is an enemy. He's wily in his approach. But there is armor, and it's provided for us by God himself, exactly suited to the battle. Its purpose is that we stand. We've also been given a model, an example, who has stood, and in standing has provided us also with this same strength. We'll just draw this to a close by reminding you that no one here has to fight this battle alone. You don't have to fight against evil by yourself. For one thing, it's impossible. You would fail immediately. But there is a possibility, and that's what we've been looking at. And it rests on this question: if he is in you, if you are in the Lord, be strong in the Lord. Perhaps it's no great harm if it raises the question in each one of us again this morning: where do I stand? Have I secured my faith? Have I secured my salvation? Do I know this gospel of peace? Do I have righteousness before God? Let us secure that again, each one of us, and perhaps someone for the first time. And if he has come into your life, do not let the evil one and these principalities, don't let them draw you aside, not even an inch. Stand firm, having done all to stand. But you need to take up the armor. And that is what I've presented before you again this morning, briefly. And I hope as a stimulus to go on thinking about it. Equipping yourself as you go through the week ahead. A situation arises and you say, "I must lay hold of that. I must put on this breastplate if I'm to stand." It's possible in the power of his might and in his provision. God bless each one of us as we hear God's word this morning and his word to us. Let us pray together. So it is fitting that we come again to you, Almighty God. And there are things about this that we still fail to understand. It's a puzzle to us that in your power and your strength and your great grace, you have chosen that we should endure, that we should not be taken out of the world, but preserved in the world against its hatred, stirred up by these spiritual hosts who are against you. But help us to see, O Lord, that this is first and foremost your battle, which you have won in Christ Jesus. That there is no need for us to fear. But help us truly to understand what the character of this struggle is, and to appreciate thee all the more what you have provided for us, that we might endure, stand, and come through to victory at our final salvation. Do hear and keep each one of us then, we pray. And enable us, O Lord, truly to each come pleading with you for your continued grace and loving kindness. These things we ask, praying that you would hear us graciously and accept us, all for Jesus' sake and his glory. Amen. May we sing in closing in Psalm 59. Psalm 59 on page 76. Please be careful. I'm asking that we sing the first two stanzas and the last two. That's the verses marked 1 to 3 and 16 and 17. So the first two and the last two, page 76 and 77. Psalm 59. From foes and all who threaten me, O God, be my defense. Save me from evildoers' hands and men of violence. See how they lie in wait for me. Ferocious men combine against me, Lord, for no offense or sinful deed of mine. And so on, verses 1 to 3 and 16 and 17. Let us stand again to sing and remain standing for the benediction.
From foes and all who threaten me, O God, be my defense. Save me from evildoers' hands and threats of violence. See how they lie in wait for me, ferocious men combine against me, Lord, for no offense of sin for me.
To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.